Lord, we're going to talk about prayer. We would ask you, Holy Spirit, just to help us right now to lay everything down that's not of you and to focus on what you want us to focus on so we can enter into what you would have concerning prayer. We're asking that you would be the teacher, that you would open it up, that you would make it alive, that you would quicken it in our spirits. We just say, thank you, Jesus. We need you so desperately. Please help us to know about prayer as it's the Christian's breath. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Last week we talked about prayer as the Christian's breath. Number one was constant communion with God. Prayer, constant communion with God. The word, does anybody know what the word prayer means? One of the things I read by a preacher a long time ago, he said prayer means to ask. But I like what Roxanne said better. It's communication with God. He does want us to ask, but I don't want my kids just asking for stuff all the time. I want them talking to me, communicating with me. That's what prayer is. God wants us to have a constant communion with Him. Number two on the outline is ask. Ask, seek, knock. Asking is an invitation from Father God. He is inviting us to ask. He knows we have needs. Just like little Cayenne over there has needs. So mommy is trying to fulfill those needs. You know? She's asking the best way she knows how. It may not be intelligible to the rest of us, but mommy's getting it. But daddy wants us to ask for the things that we need. Now let's stop and think about that. What do we need? Jesus. Okay. We need Jesus. What do we need? Every day, what do you need? Name something you need. Food. More of Jesus. Love. Protection from the enemy, peace, joy, wisdom, health, what'd you say, provision, patience, protection, what'd you say, understanding, how about memory? Instructions, direction. To know God's will. Whoa, there you go. So what I'm saying is, what is it we need every day? Okay, but what I'm... Okay, watch this. What you need every day is all these things that y'all were saying. How about you need peace or wisdom in dealing with your spouse or your children? You need grace, which is the ability of God to deal with what's coming at you in life. How do I draw back? Where do I get my wisdom? How do I take a step forward? How do I take a step sideways? What step should I take? Okay? What I'm saying is, don't we need to be accepted? Don't we need to be believed in? Don't we need friends? Don't we need people we can talk to? Don't we need to know how to pray? How to walk with God? How do I live this life? I don't want to just live it like most people. I want to live it the way God wants. How do I do that, God? Here's my point in asking the question. What God is looking for is for us to come to Him for our needs. Come to Him for your needs. Leida's talked about that, like when she is working at the school in the cafeteria and she sees all these kids. She sees their different needs and she said she's more aware of their needs and she finds herself praying for them because she's not just in survival mode. She's walking with God. And what God's doing is, first He wants us to learn how to survive. Then He wants us to learn how to walk on the water. You know? But you gotta start off by being saved, knowing how you got saved, how to walk with God, listen to God by reading His Word, talking to God during the day. But that's what prayer is talking, communing with Him all day long about everything. God, which gas station should I go to? And then which route should I take? Not just making all these things and then asking God to come bless it. You understand what I'm saying? It's like depending on God for step by step. Depending on God for every need. Leida looks at those kids coming through the line. She sees things, what she's told me, is she sees into their life and her heart goes out to them. And God, what do I pray for them? She cares. She's allowing God to care for those kids through her. She's praying. She's communing with God. God, what do they need? What should I pray? What could I say to them? Number one, constant communion with God. Number two, God the Father gives us an invitation. He says, ask. I think it is quite noteworthy to me in Matthew 7, Luke 11. He says, everyone that asks receives. What I want you to realize is God wants us to pray. It's not the posture of your body necessarily getting down on your knees, laying on your bed, sitting in a comfortable chair, laying on the floor, kneeling, clasping your hands. You could do all of those things. But I pray often with my eyes open. I pray often while I'm doing whatever I'm doing, whether it's driving. Nobody wants me closing my eyes while I'm driving. It's bad enough with my eyes open, you know. Y'all can close your eyes when I'm driving, but you don't want me to. What I'm saying is, you remember that verse where it says, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and we heal their land. Well, think about this. If my people would just pray. If my people would just ask me. If my people would bombard heaven instead of just giving up and saying, oh, we've got this person in the White House and we don't like what he's doing and we have to vote him out. And God's like, why don't you pray and ask me? Why don't you pray about it instead of trying to figure out your solution? Glory to God. He wants us to ask. Ask. Talk to Him about everything. Okay, let's number three, pray when in trouble. Turn to Jonah chapter 2, please, verse 7. When we're in trouble is a good time to pray. Sometimes God lets things happen in our life, so we will pray. Because maybe when things are going good, maybe we kind of don't talk to Him. Jonah, down in the belly of the big fish, he says, when my soul, mind, will, and emotions, when my emotions fainted within me, when my soul, my mind fainted within me, my way, when my will fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee into thine holy temple. It's kind of like he came to the end of himself. He didn't have anywhere else to turn. And all of a sudden, then he remembered the Lord. First, we're caught up in the circumstances, like Jonah in the belly of the big fish. He's caught up in circumstances. Man, it's all wet. It's stinky in here. I'm trapped. I'm claustrophobic. I want to get out of here. What am I doing? And then he goes, then remembered I the word of the Lord. Then remembered I the Lord. Turn to Psalm 65:2, please. Psalm 65:2. Sometimes what we do is we want to come to church and hear something new, miraculous, whatever, But sometimes we just need to be reminded of the simple things. And prayer is just asking, communing with God, talking to God about everything. Psalm 65:2. O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. How do you want to be known? As unto him that hears prayer. God hears, he knows what you're thinking, but he wants you to talk to him about what you're thinking. If you're thinking and you're not talking to him about it, it's kind of like you're doing it by yourself. He likes to be included. O thou that hearest prayer. He says, that's how I want to be known, as somebody who hears your prayer. Have you ever been talking to your mate and said, you're not listening to me? Or have you ever heard that from your mate? If you're married, you have. Okay. Well, God is hearing because God cares. And he says, unto thee shall all flesh come. How about Psalm 50, verse 5? Psalm 50, verse 5. Verse 5? No, verse 15, I'm sorry. And call upon me in the day of trouble. I might think about it and get back to you at a later date. Is that what he says? What does it say? Now, have you ever heard the saying, a man's as good as his word? You know where that saying started? With God. Because God always keeps his word. What does he say here? When you're in trouble, call unto me, and I will deliver you. And when I do, then what you're going to do is you're going to glorify me. How about Psalm 118, verse 5? Psalm 118, verse 5. I called upon the Lord in distress. Not in this dress, but in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. I called upon the Lord in trouble. I called upon the Lord when I felt like the waves were over me. I called upon the Lord when I was overwhelmed. How about Hebrews 4:16? Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, or God's ability, that we may obtain mercy, not get what we deserve, and find grace, God's ability, to help in time of need. Let us therefore come boldly. Let's talk about that for a little bit. How do you approach God? How do you approach God? How do you pray? Is it like you take a prayer and you throw it up and you hope that he catches it? You hope that, oh, I threw it up. I hope he caught it. How about, do you come like saying, well, I know I'm not worthy. I've done all this. I was just mad at my husband. You're probably not listening anyway. I just want you to know something. When we talk about things like that somebody gets saved and then knows how they got saved, when you have that nailed down, and then when you have forgiveness nailed down, you have that, you come to God and you say, Jesus, you know, see, we all do sins like over and over and over again. We'll do the same sin. Like, let's say anger, get mad at somebody. And then what we do is we beat ourselves up and then we don't pray because we think God's mad at us or disappointed in us or again. He says, he had it pinned in his word when Peter said to him, Lord, how oft shall I forgive my brother? Seven times in a day? I mean, the dude's wearing me out with seven times. And Jesus said, how about 70 times seven? How about as many times as he needs it? Because if you think about 490 times and divide that into, let's say, 16 hours that you're awake, okay? 490 times into 16 hours, that's more than 10 an hour. That's more than 20 an hour. It's about 30 an hour. 30 times, that means every 2 minutes you're forgiving somebody. Okay, Jen, that means you're forgiving Dana every 2 minutes. No, and I don't just mean, and I don't just mean forgiving him like I dealt with it again. Okay, I'm putting up with it. I mean like it's all, everything is straight between you and him.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Jesus is trying to help us to realize I died for all of your sin. Bring it to me. Let me deal with it. Let me take the penalty of it. And you go, but Jesus, I've done it again. And he's like, I'm not tired. He says, I'm going to help you. I'm going to deliver you. But part of that is you getting to where you're tired of it. And then you come to me and invite me to work that in you. And then you're willing to go through what you need to get all that out of you, to get the whole root and seed out of you. Because see, we just want a quick fix. What I'm saying is when I go to pray, I know, because I sin probably more than all of you, okay? And I know how to go to God because I've got, I thought I could sit on that, but I guess I can't. I know how to go to God boldly because I know how to deal with my sin. I don't let my sin deal with me because it's too big for me. I tell that to God often. This is too big for me. Dealing with Glenn is too big for me. Dealing with Sue is too big for me. Dealing with me is too big for me. Dealing with my sin is too big for me. Jesus, would you take care of this? And he said, I've got it. I said, Jesus, you're so awesome. Thank you so much for loving me. Thank you so much for never giving up on me. Thank you so much. Okay. Thank you so much. And then I could boldly approach the throne of grace. Boldly come to God and say, God, I need this. I need that. I need help. I need wisdom. I need understanding. And I know I'm going to get it because I've already given it to Jesus and he said, I'll take care of it. Does that make sense to anybody? Can we be honest for a minute? I know it's a stretch, but could we be honest for a minute? How do you approach God? Do you approach him boldly? Is there any times you don't approach God boldly? Well, once you pour it out, then you go back and say, God, I shouldn't have talked to you like that. And he's like, you're right. He's like, but I'm glad that you brought it all to me instead of trying to hide it and put on the happy face. I'm fine, God. It's like you're lying again. Right. He wants us to be real. Okay? But then after you do that, because have you ever yelled at God? Did he deserve that? Did you ever go back after you yelled and said, oh, God, I am so sorry. God, why did I do that? What's inside of me? Would you please bring that to the surface so we could deal with it? Because I don't want to ever do that again. Do you understand? Okay, what else? So how do you approach the throne of God? How do you pray? In what attitude is what I'm asking? Okay? But I'm not looking for the right answers. This isn't like a generic test. I'm looking for answers. I'm asking, how do you pray? Do you pray believing that God's going to answer? Do you pray understanding and knowing that he really cares and he wants to hear from you? Do you come boldly? What do we do with unanswered prayer? What do we do when we pray but we don't get an answer, or we don't get the answer we're looking for? How do we deal with that? Why don't we get answered, all of our prayers answered? Wait a minute. It's not that I don't want to hear. This is homework. Okay, this is homework. I apologize. Okay, because I'm 1 minute past what Sue gave me permission to go. We started 8 minutes late. She said, you have 8 minutes extra. So now I'm nine. So, homework. Why doesn't God answer some of the prayer? Or does it seem like he doesn't answer it? Number two, what do we do, or how do we respond when we don't think God answers prayer? How do we reconcile that to verses where it says he answers every prayer? How do we reconcile that when he says, if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it? Do we get mad at God? We have. Do we get mad at God? Do we think it doesn't work? Do we think, like I showed earlier, we're tossing up and he catches some of them, he lets others go? Why is there unanswered prayer? That's a good question. What we think is an unanswered prayer. Can I encourage you with one thought and we'll be done? It's real simple. Two words. Just pray. You remember what Roxanne said at the beginning when I said, what is prayer? Do you know what prayer is? Prayer is asking. But what Roxanne said, I like better, because that's what I feel like God has taught me. Prayer is talking with God, communicating with God. I like that Jen prays at night, puts the little one in God's hands, and then she's learning to trust God because he's delivering her from worrying. But that's fine to do that, but what about the rest of the day? Are we like doing the rest? Do you know what I used to do with God? I used to tell him, I don't need your help. I could do this. There's a lot of people around me that need your help. I can see it. It's obvious. I was so full of pride. And I thought I was doing fine. I don't need your help. I don't want to waste your time, God, because I can take care of these things. Other people need your help. Well, God, that's why God had to weaken my strength in the way, because I thought I could do it without him. And now I don't want to do anything without him. That's why if you're with me and we start talking, I usually break out into prayer. Whatever it is you bring up, I take it to God in prayer immediately. Because I can't handle anything. I don't want to. He wants us to pray without ceasing. So here's the thought. Just pray. Just pray. Just talk to God. Just commune with him. Practice his presence. He's right here. Right beside John. Right here. That doesn't mean you go hang out with John. I'm just using this for John. He's right here, right beside John. All John needs to do is realize God's right here and just pray. Just talk to him. Okay? Thank you, Jesus. We commit it into your hand. Ask you to open our understanding, because we want to enter into what would bless you in the realm of prayer. We want to be a house of prayer. Thank you, Jesus. The way you mean it. Amen.